Bonsoir. Kija Uyi. Was that good? good evening. How are you? That's what I tried to say. The church in Haiti send their greetings. A couple of weeks ago, I went to Haiti to help the church and do some work in the Hope Village while I was there. And I wanted to share tonight what the things that God had taught me while I was out there. Before we begin, let's pray again. Dear Father God in heaven, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for providing for us, God. Thank you for the lessons in life that you teach us along the way, God. Help us to always give you honor and glory, God. Help us to know you better, and help us just always to share your word with other people, God. Thank you so much for tonight. Please give me the words to say, and always be with those less fortunate and those that are ailing. In your son's precious name, amen. Amen. There were four main areas that God put on my heart when I was out there, and to continue to grow in when I came back. The four areas were spiritual, compassion, relationships, and patience. So our theme tonight is being transformed, and I feel that was something that happened to me while I was out there. My personal transformation started last summer. Both of my daughters were married, and my son had just proposed to his fiancée. So three weddings in a period of less than 7 months. So even though I'd been an empty nester a few months before that, it really started to sink in that I was done raising kids, for the most part. I was feeling a little drained emotionally and financially. So I began to pray that God would show me what he wanted me to do at this stage in my life. My wife and I enjoy working with the singles, but I felt that I was at a crossroad. And God put it on my heart to go to Haiti to serve and help the church there. Leslie and Danny Cadet had moved there about a year and a half ago to lead the church. So I know that I might have had a place to stay when I got out there. So this is a picture of Leslie and Danny, along with their children, Danielle and Andre. They had been part of our church here in Gwinnett for about 7 years. And I admired the courage they had to pick up their family and belongings and move out to a country that had so many challenges. I'm not sure exactly what I planned to do when I got there, but I figured that Leslie would have plenty to do to keep me busy. So I contacted them, and they were excited for me to stay out there. And they mentioned that the Hope Single Corps would be out there in March, early March. So I planned to visit for about 2 weeks, the first week to help the church out there, and the second to help the Hope Youth Corps out there. And after a turbulent flight, which I'll talk about with you offline, and a customs official who thought for sure I was smuggling something into the country, Leslie and one of his friends picked me up from the airport, and they drove us to Leslie's home, and we spent the rest of the evening catching up. The next day, I thought we would do a little sightseeing, but Leslie informed me that his car had broken down a few days before. So that's why his friend was there, to give both of us a ride. Although I didn't really think through the fact that as an evangelist for the church in Port-au-Prince, he was responsible for all the other churches there, which are over 10 and over 1,000 disciples. So he was busy. He spent a lot of time on the phone, returning texts, calls, Skype. I have a new level of respect for the work that evangelists do. I was always unsure what they did all day, but now I know, so you can rest assured that Steve's doing quite a bit of work. So with the car not working, we were kind of stuck at the house, so I made a decision to have a spiritual retreat while I was there. So I decided to disconnect from the world, no TV, no March Madness, no internet or computer, and just use my phone to call my wife and a couple people. So this first area that God helped me to grow was spirituality. In James chapter 4, verse 8, it says, Come near to God, and He will come near to you. Sounds simple enough, right? And for Christians, it is that simple. But to be truthful, my quiet times weren't that great. They could use some help, and I was feeling a little dull spiritually. I was also feeling a little stressed from work. We recently lost our largest customer, which is about 60% of our business, and the work being done by the technicians wasn't helping matters any either, so I was feeling a little frustrated. So we all understand that a relationship with God takes a little bit of effort, and anytime you have a problem connecting with God, try spending some time alone, right? Seems simple enough. So in Haiti, I used my mornings to read my Bible, praying. I prepared a couple of communion messages, a teen class that Leslie wanted me to do later in the week. And the time I was spending with God was incredible. Uninterrupted time, no distractions. I would wake up at about 5:30 every morning to the sound of roosters and people on the streets. It was amazing how early in the morning people would get up and go to work. And around 6 a.m., Leslie and I would go to a prayer walk. We'd do about an hour and a half in the neighborhood. And when I got back, I would go out in his patio, read my Bible, pray, and just mediate on God's word for a while. I took pages of notes, finished a few DPI books. It was very spiritually enlightening. During this time of spiritual growth, I was still praying to God to show me what He wanted to do at this stage of my life. So through the first week in Haiti, the cadets would arrange rides to do errands or borrow a friend's car while the person was at work. And then I got a chance to meet some of the family group leaders and members of the congregation. It was at the first church service in Port-au-Prince. Many of the brothers wanted to meet me, say hello, and practice English. They seemed to be excited that I was there. It was very encouraging that everybody wanted to know where I was from and how long I would be staying there. It was kind of like I was a rock star. Leslie later shared with me that there were a lot of health challenges and some extreme poverty for most of his congregation. But during the fellowship, you could never tell that from the smile on their faces. And Leslie also pointed out that my being in Haiti was encouraging to the church. It reminded them that people in America were concerned about their welfare, and of all the places I could go during my two-week vacation from work, I choose to go there to help them. So this is the church that we met on Sunday and Wednesday evening. As you can see, it's a pavilion. It seated about 200 people, roughly. It stands pretty much intact, despite an earthquake that happened in 2010. In January 2010, there was an earthquake that 100,000 people lost their lives and devastated the entire island. Homes and businesses were turned into rubble, as you can see by this next slide. It happened right there, and it did a lot of damage in Port-au-Prince. And in the next slide, you can see on the other side of the pavilion that this sinkhole, about 40 foot by 80 foot, still stands. And you can kind of see off to the side the level ground there. Those poles are actually trees. You can see how far the ground sank. And there's nothing they can really do with that property. And it devastated the whole countryside. And a lot of people stayed in tents for a very long time on the property. And what little they had was gone. And I was just really encouraged by the fact that these challenges and setbacks didn't discourage them. And when I came back to Atlanta, it just helped me just to focus spiritually on what was important. So many times in life, we just lose touch with what's really important. Stuff doesn't matter. It's people and relationships, the things that count. And that really helped me when I got back. And also during this time in Haiti, I became more compassionate in serving the poor. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17, it says, "Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and He will reward them for what they have done." When we serve the poor, we're actually serving God. And obviously, He's able to pay us back, right? And who better to lend money to or lend our time to than God, right? Even though I might not be good for it, He is. And just to think about all that He has done for us, too, it's kind of a no-brainer. When we can do that, we're actually serving God, like I said. So with almost 3 million people in Port-au-Prince and in the metro area, there were many poor and needy people there. I didn't take any pictures of that because I thought it would be disrespectful. There are not enough jobs in Haiti, and the ones that are there don't pay a whole lot. And poverty is different in Haiti than it is here. At least here, there are places to go and there are programs people can sign up for. In Haiti, they don't have that. They just have each other. And even though we understand this, it's one thing to understand it with our head. It's another to understand it in our heart. And for me, it really connected with me, the fact that these people are in great need, but they have the right perspective. And I felt I needed that. It is important to help the poor, obviously, with this passage and others, especially in Matthew chapter 25, talking about the sheep and goats. I encourage you to read that later. But it is also important to do this with our children, those of you who have kids. Because as we serve the poor, they will also have compassion also. We need to teach this to others, especially our children. During my second week in Haiti, the Single Corps arrived in Hope's Village, and we spent some time with some children at nearby orphanage. And being with the orphans really softened my heart. I have a few pictures of that. The first picture is the group of the Single Corps coming down there. They're all about in their 20s, and I just really appreciate their heart. They're from all over the world. There's one guy in the back that was from Atlanta, but there were people from London and other places, and they all came here to help help serve the orphans here. The next one is just kind of a picture. It looked kind of random, but they're kind of organizing for a game. The next one is the organizer. His name's Dave from Philadelphia. Every year he organizes a group to get down there in other places. The next picture shows the cabins, which kind of reminded me of the swamp a little bit. They're made out of cement and block. They're very well constructed, but you can kind of see how they go in a row. And I thought that was kind of neat that they had a place for everyone to stay. And then the next is a playing field where they're actually level and all the kids play ball there. And the only reason it's empty here is because they're eating. So in the next page, picture, we have eating lunch was provided. And here's some of the kids here. I showed them my cell phone. And, of course, when they saw what a selfie was, they all wanted to get in the picture. I love his smile. It's crazy. And as you can see, they really enjoyed it. We had a star on site there. And bubbles were also a big hit here. It's kind of interesting. When the bubbles weren't blowing right, they all put their cap on and shook it up like that was going to help things. I thought that was awesome. And coloring books were also a big hit. And also here, this young lady's name is Vanessa, and she was down there for a whole year. And she was teaching the kids English here, and I thought that was awesome. You can kind of see sort of working the alphabet here. And I just thought that was awesome that she would just take a whole year off, go to this country, and help people. It just really struck a chord with me, and I just really loved being around them. It made me feel young. Well, a little bit. Just understanding that there are so many needs, we just here in Atlanta, we just really need to be mindful of it. Praying, you know, if we can support, you know, missions, all this stuff makes a huge difference. So I also, with serving the poor, had a better understanding of how to serve my brothers and sisters better. Relationships are important, and sometimes for me, I just don't do a very good job of it. I got to confess, I'm sorry. It is important not only for us to serve the poor, but also serve our brothers and sisters. And in Haiti, I saw so many examples of this. It was I actually had to cut out quite a few, but I wanted to share just one here. During a fellowship break at church, I met a man named Gabby, who was a brother in the church, who was fluent in English, and we hit it off right away. He said a friend of his named Harry wanted to study the Bible and asked me if I could help. So Gabby, Harry, and I, there's a picture of us. Gabby's off to the left, Harry's in the middle, and of course, that's me on the other side. After church, we just pulled up some chairs along the pavilion. Harry was a doctor at a nearby hospital and had some experience working on some of the projects with Hope. And he'd worked with him for the past couple of years. And Harry had known Gabby for quite a while. And over time, he had noticed there was a difference about Gabby. Gabby kept inviting him to church. And finally, the day that I was there was the first time that he showed up. It was very humbling to be in a Bible study with two people I met for the very first time. And Harry shared that he felt that God was trying to get his attention, believe it or not. And I shared with him that God was trying to do the same thing with me all those years ago and having a plan for him, that he needed to see that. And I started to get to know Harry. He, even though that he was very successful, his personal life was a mess. And that's just a lesson for us. We need to share our faith with everybody, because even though he looked pretty sharp on the outside and inside, you know, we're all a mess. We all need God. And a couple of days later, we did a follow-up study with Harry, and we had it at the cadet home. The study went a little longer than planned, go figure. Anyway, Gabby and Harry were getting ready to leave, and Gabby mentioned that all the stores would be closed. And I was kind of curious what that meant, but in Haiti, you have to buy your drinking water, and it comes in the water cooler jugs, so you have to purchase it. And Leslie wouldn't let Gabby go home without any water for his family. So Leslie grabbed his water jug, which was only about a quarter full. There was only a little bit in it. And he poured about half of it into Gabby's water container. And they left. And I didn't really think about that until later. The fact that Leslie didn't have a car that was working, he had no idea when he was going to get water for his family. And we take for granted the fact that we can get drinking water out of a faucet. We can just turn it on and get a drink. But it's a real challenge for people just to get things like drinking water. And it really put things into perspective for me. There is also another story about the showers, but I'll save that for another day. So there were other things in terms of serving that I thought were really amazing. There's many other examples, and I was just really inspired by these relationships. And like I said before, I had not done really well in my relationships with my brothers here in Gwinnett. And I know it's a simple thing. We all have cell phones. All I need to do is pick up the phone and call somebody. And it's really hard for us to connect with our brothers and sisters if we don't know how we can serve them. So we need to be talking with each other. This isn't just for me, I hope. But we need to have that deeper relationship. And for me here in Gwinnett, I've apologized to a few people for being such a knucklehead. And probably some of you guys will be getting calls here in the near future. So another lesson that I learned out in Haiti was patience. In Romans chapter 8, 25, it says, "But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently." Waiting patiently for people and things is not a strong suit for me. It has always been a struggle. You can ask my wife and daughter. No, don't ask them. But in Haiti, without a car, we had to improvise quite a bit. People would show up when they could, and they would give the cadets rides back and forth. And even though they expected them at a certain time, they never knew when they were going to show up. And obviously, the cadets wouldn't have enough time to do the things that they needed to do. But the thing was, is they were always at peace with it. They were always content. They were just happy that people were coming by and picking them up. And a lot of times, I can get a little irritated when people are late. And really, it just puts things into practice. You know, just patience is such an important aspect, a fruit of the Spirit. So not knowing where we were going to go and when we were going to leave actually helped me. So I got a little bit better at waiting. I also got a little bit better at waiting in traffic. One thing about living in Atlanta, if you drive anywhere in the morning or late in the afternoon, you're going to hit traffic. And one thing for me, this is just my experience, I don't know about you guys, people do not merge well. I don't know what it is, people just don't merge well. But in Haiti, everybody merges well. Where we were at, there were no traffic lights, there were no stop signs. You used your horn to communicate your intent. You just inched out into traffic and you went. And traffic didn't move at a quick rate, but it moved. And I was amazed, no lights, and the traffic was pretty rough. Except on a Saturday afternoon, traffic got pretty congested. And this is our car right here, and I don't think the perspective is right as far as the window, the mirror, and the truck next to us. It was extremely close to us, and the fact that any sort of a gap here, motorcycles would kind of zigzag in and out, and I did not see any accidents. I don't know how that was possible. But the fact of the matter is this is a one-lane road, and there's two lanes of cars, so our car was actually partially up on the sidewalk. So, you know, I was thinking about this, and the traffic that I sit in Atlanta, it wasn't really such a big deal. It kind of put into perspective just the situation with traffic. Everybody on Saturday afternoon was getting somewhere. But it occurred to me that in life, things can appear chaotic and messy and like traffic here. But eventually, we were going to arrive at the Hope Village where we were going to encourage the people that arrived there. Eventually, Leslie would do his lesson to welcome the people that were there. And God was in control. So even though it took us about 2.5 hours to go a period of about 10 miles, God was in control. We were going to get there when we were supposed to get there. And I was just thankful I wasn't driving. So like I said, sitting in traffic nowadays, it's nothing. So it really helped me to get that perspective. And it's funny how sometimes we have a plan in our mind on how something's going to work out, and God uses it in an entirely different way. I went to Haiti to help the church there, and I think the church really helped me. This experience in Haiti has definitely opened my eyes and gave me new insight and a different perspective on many things in my heart, on top of these four areas, which is being more spiritual, being more compassionate, being deeper in my relationships, and obviously being more patient, and of being transformed. All this time, I was still praying that God would show me what he wanted me to do at this stage of my life. And after the first week in Haiti, I believe God answered that prayer. It was like a little light bulb going off in my head. The whole time I was praying that God would show me what he wanted me to do, and the answer was to stay close to him. A sense of peace came over me, and I knew that God, that I was doing exactly what God wanted me to be doing. As we get older, we've been around the kingdom for a while, it is easy for us to drift or sometimes go through the motions. If we are not growing in our relationship with God, it's dying. We all need to have a spiritual retreat every once in a while. You might not be able to go to Haiti to have one, but one night this week, Turn off the TV. Turn off the internet, the computer, the cell phone, and spend some time alone with God. Like in James chapter 4, verse 8, come near to God, and he will come near you. Amen. Good night.